Blog Talk Radio.
This is your time with Josie. We'll have a blast every Friday right here. I'll make it memorable for listeners all ages. So glad you joined me today.
Hey everyone, this is Josie. Welcome to Your Time with Josie. We have a very educational and exciting, fun show today. Super excited. Welcome everybody in the chat room. Shout out Aaron, me, Junebug, Pandamanda, Reba330, SeanMach132, and Tina. Hi guys, thank you so much for tuning in. So as I said, we have a very, very, very exciting show today. And our guest has arrived. So everyone, please welcome Education Director from the Schoolhouse Children's Museum and Learning Center, Mario Aguilar.
Happy to. Hi Josie, how's it going?
Hi Mario, how are you? I'm good.
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to the show. I think it's fantastic that you have a show available for all your listeners. And I saw Alan today, and he was very much very excited and happy that I would be on the show tonight talking with you.
Absolutely. I am super excited. I've been looking forward to this because not only is it going to be super fun, but it's going to also be educational, which I like.
Absolutely.
It'll mean something.
I guess I'm pretty new at this, so anything you want to ask first. Otherwise, I have some I wanted to just
Definitely.
Share with you a little bit about what the Schoolhouse Children's Museum is, and then you can ask me any questions.
Sounds great. So you want me to start off, just a quick interview? So tell us about the Learning Center Museum.
Okay. The Schoolhouse Children's Museum is located in Boynton Beach, Florida. So it's southeast Florida in Palm Beach County. It was a school building that was built in 1913, so that was 97 years ago. The town that was there back in that time period was all farming. All the people in the community were basically migrants from different states that had come down to South Florida and had started up farming. And when there was expansion of the town, they decided that the best thing to do was to build a school. So in 1913, all the people in the town, all volunteers, got together and raised enough money to build and construct a stone building. It was originally, there was a school before, but it was originally a one-room schoolhouse. In those days, generally, schools were all wooden school buildings, and it was kindergarten through 12th grade. So having this stone building was really a big endeavor, and it was an addition and a benefit to the community. Now, back in that time also, something had changed. It was part of Palm Beach County, which is all of southeast Florida, includes also Broward County and Miami-Dade. All of that area was at one time Dade County. So the teacher that was the teacher in that school was at one time a Dade County teacher. And so I work there now, and it's not a school anymore, but it's a museum, and it is all the rooms that we have are now converted into fun and imaginative exhibits for children of all ages.
Absolutely. And also on the website, schoolhousemuseum.org, everyone, you can check it out after the show. You actually have, which I thought was really fun, you have a virtual tour on there, and you can see, all the exhibits, and you can learn more about, the history, and I thought that was very exciting.
It is kind of neat. There's a lot of visitors that we have a year. The admission attendance is somewhere, it's over 8,000 visitors a year. So we get a lot
wow.
of people from all over the country and from local areas as well. Last year alone, we had over 4,000 school kids. So I kept myself very, very, very busy. There was a lot of school kids that came through the museum, and the connection is history. They come to learn about local history, but we certainly we get a lot of visitors, and In addition to school kids, we also get we get a lot of people from out of state, but we also get people from different countries. I've met people from Denmark. I've met people from Germany. I've met people from Spain, and it's a really nice thing that it's a learning center, but it's also a tourist attraction. So people from all over the place find out about where they can go. Can we go to an art museum? Can we go visit a zoo? And then they find out our little secret, you know, gem of a little children's museum, and we get a lot of people to come and visit our place. And so it's really nice to have that there.
That is so cool. Sometime when I'm down at Florida, I should give it a try. I'd love to be there. I would love to.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the virtual tour is kind of neat because people that never have been here actually have a chance to visit what we're – so like you mentioned, schoolhousemuseum.org is our website. And, you know, it's on all the time, so anybody in the middle of the night feel like, hey, I want to go to a children's museum in the morning. They can actually go on there and check us out.
Awesome. And we posted the link to the website on the page. So, everyone, you can click it after the show. So, also, I was wondering, what kind of exhibits do you have?
That's a great question. We have all the classrooms in the old school were converted to exhibits. So basically what we have now is a recreation of the past. So we have a farm area that has a pepper farm and a dairy farm. And the idea behind creating the dairy farm was from the people that helped create the museum. There was a family who was known as the Weaver family, and the Weavers actually were dairy farmers in early Boynton in about the 1950s, 1960s. And so they were one of the very first people that helped with the creation of rescuing the building and the creation of the Children's Museum. And so that's an area that's dedicated to their past. And then we have another room upstairs that has a room called Main Street that has a doctor's office, a little post office, and it has a general store. So kids can come in with their grown-ups and can pretend play and simulate what it was like to live in an old town that was from the 1920s and an earlier time period. So it's kind of neat because people come in and they go, oh, this is great. You know, there's all these different exhibit rooms that we can visit, and it's almost like going back in time. So that's the idea behind the exhibit.
Exactly, and I absolutely love, you know, the type of museums such as yours that, you know, you not only, you know, read about it, but you can also, you know, do them hands-on. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we do. For instance, the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have kids come in there, and we have doctor coats and lab coats that they can put on. So we have dress-up clothing in addition. There's props, and the kids come in and they put on their plastic stethoscopes and they put on their lab coats, and then they, you know, they don't play operation or anything like that. But what they do is they go and they have one of the other kids. Like if a school group comes, one of the kids puts on the coat and the other kid says to them, "Okay, have a seat. How are you feeling today?" And then they check their breathing, and then they take their pulse. So that's the kind of funny thing that happens.
That's
once
really
in a
cool.
while. Yeah, it's kind of neat to see that. And, of course, the funniest part is when you have a small kid who comes in with one of their grown-ups, whether it's their parent or their grandparent, and then to ask them that, you know, can you sit down? You're not looking well. I should check to make sure you're healthy. You know, so it's kind of funny when they role-play like that.
That is so cool. And if I'm correct, in the dairy farm section, kids could actually milk a cow. But it's obviously a tank cow, but you could actually milk the cow, and I find that fun.
Yeah, going back that's to awesome. The Weaver family that helped put the museum, Josie, they actually, what they did was they donated this real-size cow, and it actually has udders. Can you believe that? It actually has udders.
That is
and what
so
the kids,
cool.
What the kids do is they come in and they feed the cow, and the cow drops ping pong balls through the udders, and that's where they collect milk. Yep, it's
that
true.
Is,
we actually have a real size working cow, and the thing is, after they collect the milk, they go over to another machine that we call the chiller, and they put the milk or the ping pong balls into the chiller, and the idea behind it is that when milk comes out of a cow, it comes out warm. So they actually, we have something simulating that where they can make the milk cool down, which is why it's called chiller. So the idea behind it is for children to get into imaginative play, and that's what we want. We want kids to participate and to feel part of an experience that they can't find anywhere else.
That is so much fun. And what are the hours of operations like if someone wants to go in there?
That's a very good question. We are open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 5 p.m. And we basically do groups, all kinds of school groups come to us Tuesday through Thursday from 10 to 12. And like I said, we get so many annually. We get over 9,000 visitors. And it's just, it's during those hours that we get a lot of people. Now, the busiest time of the day is in the morning from, let's say, about 10 to 1. It's really when we're the busiest. And then a lot of the kids, because there's some very young children, they come and they have to get nap time or they have to go out for lunch or snack. So the museum kind of gets a little quiet. But by the afternoon, it just, you know, there's a whole group
speeds
of people.
Up.
It picks up and it speeds up again.
That is so cool. And also I wanted to bring up that there's something with volunteers, like kids can actually volunteer, if I'm correct. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a very good thing that you brought up. I think what happened before I started, they only had a few staff members when the museum first opened, and the importance of reaching out to adult volunteers and teen volunteers. So I can talk about the teen volunteers a little bit. Basically, what we have is an opportunity for teens from local high schools and even middle schools. They have to be at least 14 and up, and they come in and they have their guidance counselor at their schools request that the student find a place to do community service. So what great place but a children's museum? So they're not only learning customer service, they're learning about how to work with children, they're learning about sales, and they're learning about administrative work and how to do some important statistics of how many people come through the door and stuff like that. And they learn all kinds of different tasks that they can do. And without volunteers, the museum really would be at a disadvantage because we have a small staff at the museum, and the volunteers complement the staff. So without them, it's really a place that couldn't really run. So we're very, very fortunate that teens want to come in and volunteer and do their community service hours, and we also have the adults.
Yeah. That's really cool.
You know, it's interesting. We have a teen that actually he had come in to volunteer, and over the year that he was volunteering, I think he racked up to over 200 hours. I think it was like something maybe over 250 hours of volunteer community service. I mean, this youngster, he had been and he was just going to just meet the minimum, and he wound up doing more than he could have probably wanted, but he has a special place in our hearts because he really put his and dedicated his time to helping us out. And so if Watkins is listening today, I hope you know I'm acknowledging you.
Awesome, and I bet he'd love that shout out.
absolutely.
And also I hear that you actually have public speakers and storytelling and, you know, actual performances. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, throughout the year, we try to do as much as we can to basically make the museum a wonderful place to visit. And the way that we do that is we offer story time during a Wednesday time at 11 a.m. And so people come all the time. Every Wednesday they come to do story time. And another thing that we do is we have special presenters. There was a lady by the name of Dr. Judy Garcia who was, she had been enrolled in the Teacher in Space program. And you may have known of those Teacher in Space programs where a teacher was selected to enroll in the NASA program, and they had to go through all the training that a NASA astronaut goes through and then they go out on the space shuttle and they do a they do an actual space mission. So we actually had somebody like Dr. Judy Garcia, who still works for still works in Palm Beach County at the Education Network, which is a local radio station. She actually comes and does guest appearances, and we were fortunate enough to have her do a presentation about her participation in that space program. So that's a kind of a cool thing that we actually got. And then another thing that we do is we try to spend the year planning for our big fundraiser events. So we have two big events. One is, and it's a very, very popular one, it's called the Spooky Schoolhouse Carnival. And that's when our teen volunteers and our adult volunteers help us out. And it's basically a it's a 2-3 night event where we have because we're a 2-story building, we have the upstairs and we turn it into a spooky schoolhouse. You know, we make it a really we get an actual outside group that comes in and they put on costumes and they masquerade and they wear makeup and they really turn out all the lights and it's at night and it's really spooky. And of course there's admission
that
for that.
That is awesome.
And it helps with fundraising. So we call it the carnival because we have pony rides, we have we have face painters, we have balloon twisters, we have games and outdoor games, and we sell food. So we make it into a family event, and that's always in October for all your listeners who are ever in Boynton Beach. And then the second one is our Spring Bonanza, which we just had back in March, and it's also it's a 1-day event. And basically what we do is we try to celebrate spring. And again, all our volunteers, our teen volunteers and our adult volunteers, they come and help us out. And basically with those two events, not only do we reach out to the community, we try to do things that nobody else is doing, you know, getting families of all ages involved and coming to visit us. So it's a really great time for us.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun that you have like those awesome events. Do you have any upcoming events for people who will be in Florida that want to visit?
Yeah, the one event that I think everyone should put on their calendars is definitely the one in October. I know that's a few months away, but it requires a lot, from our standpoint, it requires a lot of planning. Any kind of a special event that is going to be really, really fantastic requires a lot of planning ahead of time. So we try to reload for it each year. And so having people come out to us and get the word out is a very, very good thing. Last year we had, I think close to about 3,000 people that came to the 3-day event. It was really, it was a lot of people. And so we're fortunate that worked out for us.
Yeah. That's really cool.
The next event that's happening is, our summertime is just, anybody who's coming to visit us at the museum should know that we get so busy. We've got a lot of visitors coming in the summertime because they come on vacation to South Florida. Either they go to Disney World or whatever place they're visiting, they come to Florida. And we're definitely, a sweet destination for a lot of the tourists. So I don't have any special events, Josie, but we certainly have those two big events that we definitely are very proud of.
That is so cool. I mean, because summer is coming for me, in a couple more weeks. So, and we were planning a vacation to Florida to check you guys out. So, I'd love to go down there and check out the events. And October, you said, so one sounds good. Sweet.
Yes, absolutely. It's a fantastic time. And even if you come and visit the museum, it's a really a neat place because the surrounding area in Boynton, there's a lot of different places you can go visit. Boynton Beach itself, the city has really changed in the last few years. There's a lot more places to go and visit, and the museum is really a gem. You know, a lot of people that come visit us, they keep coming back. You know, they keep visiting us because they like not only where we're located, but they like the fact that we're also a very cool place for their kids to come. And even if their kids are getting older, they still come back.
Oh, that is so much fun. And also you do birthdays too there, right?
Yeah, that the birthday program, that's a really, really big thing for us. There's a young lady who works with me. Her name is Marissa. And hey, Marissa, if you're listening, Marissa is our birthday planner and our coordinator.
Hey,
she's also, hi, Marissa. She's also our program director. And Marissa has done a fantastic job with creating packages, birthday packages, and a la carte style packages for anyone who wants to come in. And either they're looking to go all out and, you know, have a wonderful, memorable birthday, or they're just, you know, they're budget conscious and they want to kind of pick and choose what they want to do. So we really try to meet all different type of audiences, and we do offer different price points. So it's a really nice thing that she's done that, and it gets people from, the interesting thing is when people come to a birthday party, they go, wow, this is where I want to have my kid's birthday party. So we wind up getting repeat business from other visitors that come to attend another person's birthday. So we're very lucky that that happens for us, too.
That's so much fun. And Alan mentioned just now in the chat room, ask Mario about the Budweiser Clydales who visit the museum.
I didn't realize how enormous those horses are. I just want to say on the
air,
those horses are not only beautiful, majestic, and powerful, but they're huge. I mean, those horses
they're
are pretty
huge.
Enormous. And the thing is, they had come down and they had made the Budweiser, I guess the marketing people had made a connection, and they reached out to the city of Boynton Beach. And then in turn, the city of Boynton Beach turned to us, the Schoolhouse Children's Museum, and said, hey, would you all like being the center of attraction for the Clydesdale horses and the wagon that comes? It has the logo on the side, and then and then the great thing is they have on the because it simulates kind of like it looks like a fire truck. They had a Dalmatian dog on it, and it's really funny, and it's so
that
cute
was hilarious.
And the thing is that, you know, the word had probably gone out in within a 2-week period, and so many people came to it, and we were. You know, there's photographers from the local newspapers, and we got the press included on that, and it was on the city's website, and just having them come in and do a feature, the Budweiser people did a fantastic job, and we were very fortunate for that to happen.
That is really, really, really cool, and people are mentioning to me maybe one day I could do a show live from the museum. That would be fun.
You know, I was going to say something like that. I didn't know how much involvement it takes to create or broadcast a live show. But I would imagine we could probably do a show right at the museum and say, hey, live from Boynton Beach, you know, a show
that
on the road
awesome.
Kind of thing. And I think it's kind of neat because we do have a lot of visitors, and we might be able to, like, just get somebody and say, I love this place, you know. So, absolutely. So the next time you're in Florida, you know, we'll give you and your family, when you come down, we'll give you a VIP tour of the different exhibits.
That was so cool.
And we'll show you our different interaction, and we'll introduce you to Kirsten the cow.
Oh. Oh, hey,
we actually have a name for the cow. You know, I don't know if Alan is listening to this, but Alan, the actual cow's name is Kirsten, and it's the Weaver family that donated the cow, and it's named after Curtis and Stanley. So if you take the first name Curtis and the first name Stan, it's Kirsten.
I'll have to meet Kirsten sometime.
That's funny, yeah. Well, what would you do with a cow?
We'll
introduce you to the cow, and we'll take you around the pepper patch.
Awesome, awesome. I can't wait. Sweet.
That'd be kind of a great experience for you.
It would. And also, I would like to mention that they also do things for different age groups, like learning Spanish. And all those
Yes. In addition to school groups, we also have a Spanish club. And basically, twice a week, a young lady by the name of Carolina habla español, you know, so Carolina comes and does Tuesdays and Thursdays our Spanish club, and it has been a popular program for us, and Carolina hails from Colombia in South America, and she's a native speaker, and she has two daughters, and she has been the pioneer, but she's been the one who has been so wonderful and enthusiastic about the classes that she teaches. So thank goodness for Carolina.
That's so cool that you do. You do any other any languages? Other languages? You have Spanish. Do you have any more?
If somebody like Carolina came to me, because originally she came and said, "Hey, do you have any Spanish classes?" And I said, why don't you teach the classes? So it was her who wanted to know what if we have any courses or for children in preschool or for elementary age school kids to do a Spanish class. And she's the one that actually is a teacher, and she's the parent. So she's a teacher and the parent. But if any parent that comes to visit the museum wants to come and put on a class, whether it's teach Italian or Korean or Polish or any languages, I'd be more than happy to, and I'm receptive and open to getting anyone who is willing to put in the time to teaching their native language to youngsters. Absolutely. I welcome any languages. So Spanish is the only one that we currently offer, but if any other languages are out there and any families want to come and teach a class, I'd be happy to talk with them.
Exactly. And a big ups would probably be Italian and French and German and those.
Parla
cool.
Italiano, Josie.
I know. It's so funny. I'm 100% Italian, and I don't know anything Italian.
That's okay.
Who knows?
That's okay. I think I think if we get a class and somebody teaches Italian, I think I'll be calling you and asking you if you'd like to join and be our first student in the class. So there you go.
That'd be awesome. I need to learn some Italian.
Very good.
We're
very fortunate at the museum. We can kind of reach out and target different audiences, like the Spanish and the school kids and the local and as well as foreign visitors that come to us. We have birthday parties, so we have young kids that come and they celebrate their wonderful turning their birthdays. So we've got a list of different things that we do. We've got the carnival in October. We've got the spring bonanza. We try to do as much as we possibly can to get everyone who comes visits us and enjoy their time there. And then of course we expect them that when they leave that they tell some of their friends to come and visit us as well.
Absolutely. And my friends probably will go too because they listen to the show. And I got one friend that lives in Florida, so I know she's probably going to be running there now.
Fantastic. You know, I have to say something, and I hope Alan is listening. I heard through the grapevine that you are into the SpongeBob SquarePants show.
Oh, yeah.
Now when we celebrate birthdays, that's actually one of the themes that we offer. So that's kind of funny.
Really?
People call in and they want their cake to have Dora or they want their cake. So Marissa, who
that's
I talked
awesome.
About, actually she tries to get the guest or the child who's celebrating a birthday to celebrate a particular theme. So SpongeBob is actually a popular one for Marissa. She gets requests for that, or she'll get requests for Dora, or she'll get Bob the Builder, or she'll get a request for Thomas the Train, stuff like that.
I have to celebrate my birthday there. I need some SpongeBob.
Yeah, right. And when we have your birthday, we'll say, "Are you ready, kids? Aye, aye, Captain. I can't hear you.
You're Z Mario.
There you go.
You're Z Mario. Hello.
Yeah,
oh, hey, Alan. How you doing?
Hey, Mario.
That's great. I'm glad you're listening in. I have to say,
you're copping out.
What was that?
You're copping out. All that time you spent memorizing the SpongeBob theme song, now you have to sing it.
Okay. Well, I'm never one to back down from a challenge. So here it goes. Are you ready, kids? Aye, aye, Captain. I can't hear you. Aye, aye,
Captain.
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Absorbent in yellow and porous as he.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
If nautical nonsense be something you wish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Then drop on the deck and flop like a fish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ready. There you go. All right. You guys are great.
That was by far the best. That's so cool.
That's a funny show, and I'm actually very happy that at least we gave it some. I guess we gave it some consideration for the show. Thank you so much, Alan, for that.
Absolutely.
Mario, you haven't told them about the Lightkeeper.
Lightkeeper, ooh. There's a Lightkeeper?
Oh, yeah. A few years back, if anybody who wants to check out our website, schoolhousemuseum.org, what they'll actually find on the virtual tour is the Jupiter Lighthouse, which is it's a tall red structure that is in Jupiter, Florida. And we have a replica of it in our front lobby or in our gift shop area. And there's an animatronic or a robot that comes out and does six different stories. It's all been pre-recorded, and they have done a fantastic job. It cost the museum at the time of installation, it cost nearly $100,000 to put in. And what it did was it captured different stories of what happened to early Boynton, and it put it into this recording, and this robot comes out, you know, and he comes and speaks, and he says, you know, hi, welcome to the Children's Museum. And then he tells the stories, and it's an actual animatronic. And the great thing is that every single visitor that has ever come through the front door of our museum loves seeing it. And children that, of course, some kids are very fearful of this robot that comes out and talks. After seeing it and listening to it, it's quite interesting. And it's the same.
Yeah, but when
same
you work there and you hear it 30 times a day, you want to kill it.
Yeah, but you know, after a while, you just like sometimes you spend time. I know you want to probably not hear it after 30 times, Alan. But in reality, what happens is if you spend enough days and weeks and months working there, you kind of after a while you tune it out.
Literally, exactly.
You tune it out.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you do tune it out. I mean, it's after a while you start listening to it in the background, even if it's playing right in front of you.
That's awesome. And I wanted to just let you know, I'm a listener by the name of Junebug, wanted me to ask you, do the exhibits change? And if so, how often?
Yeah, the exhibits, basically what we have is they're permanent exhibits. They were made by a designer. And the designer's plans were put together for the carpenters back about 9 years ago. And they did a fantastic job of constructing everything and then installing it all for children and families to visit. So the answer to the question is we basically have permanent exhibits. None of the exhibits are traveling exhibits. They're all in place for children of all ages to come and touch and feel and dress up and play with Kirsten the cow and go upstairs and pretend that they're a storekeeper. So all the exhibits are basically handcrafted and installed by carpenters when they remodeled and made it into a museum.
Except
That's
for
really
the
cool.
one exhibit downstairs.
What was that, Alan?
Train?
Except for that one exhibit downstairs, which is right now the history of the mayors of Boynton Beach.
Ooh.
Yeah, for your listeners, what Alan is referring to is there's a section in the museum that's called the Archive Gallery, and in that Archive Gallery we have a revolving exhibit. And in the last few years we've had exhibits such as the history of the Seminole, or we've had the history of dolls, and we've had family collections, and we are currently exhibiting, we've also had the history of the 40th anniversary of NASA. So we've had different collections in that revolving exhibit. And the current exhibit in the archive gallery is the one called the history of Boynton Beach mayors. And that's the one that Alan adores. I mean, I can't actually get Alan out the door anymore because he loves spending time in it.
I don't blame him. It sounds like so much fun.
I think awesome. Alan spent so much time there. We're going to soon have a picture of him on the wall.
as the history of the museum.
Josie's going to spend most of her time out back in the playground.
Oh, there's a playground? You didn't tell me there's
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, Josie, we actually on the east side of the building,
awesome.
We have this enormous playground, and it's called the Kids Kingdom. And in Kids Kingdom, a few years back, I would say about nine years ago, a core of volunteers, sort of like a Habitat for Humanity kind of thing, where people got together in the local community, and they had local restaurants donate food and drinks, and all the volunteers created and built this enormous playground. And when I say enormous, I know your listeners are thinking, well, I've seen pretty big playgrounds. Well, I don't think you've ever seen a playground where they have a ship. They recreated an old schooner ship that kids climb, and it's a lot of fun. And sometimes I think I catch Alan playing on the ship.
That is super cool. And Alan, you are correct.
I go on the ship,
right,
and
I'll be hanging there.
I do my Popeye on the ship.
I think Alan likes to go on the tire swings.
No, I like to go there when they have birthday parties because I get the cupcakes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids doing cupcakes today.
Really? Oh, you were birthday?
Yep.
There was an award ceremony for these kids that won a reading contest, and it was given out by Public Access Television, WXEL. And so they had leftover pizza and cupcakes, so we had a picnic.
That's right. It was actually not. It was not a reading contest. It was a writer's contest. It was called PBS Go Kids, and the children in the local
awesome.
The children in local
it's
schools.
It's not every day
like,
you get a pizza from the deputy mayor of a city, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vice Mayor Marlene Ross was there, who's a dear friend of the museum's, and she'd come by with Samantha Conde, who is the education specialist from WXEL. Both of them were the hosts of this writer's contest ceremony. And all the kids that came to the museum with their families, of course, they all went upstairs and they had an award ceremony. And they got prizes and they got pizza. And as Alan pointed out, they even gave out cupcakes for the kids that won the awards. And, of course, the best part about it is that it was at the museum. So everyone got a chance to celebrate at a very fun and cool place.
That is awesome. And also, I wanted to mention, because I think I'm going to have fun with this exhibit too. Do you have a train?
Yes, actually we do. We have
Mario's always playing with Thomas DePauw's train.
I am. I always try to put the tracks together because all the kids that use it, they put them in different orders. So I always have to straighten it out and put it back in order. But anyway, it's the train that we have is in the time travels exhibit, and it's And again, to your listeners, if you go to our website, schoolhousemuseum.org, you'll see on the virtual tour this enormous train. It's called the Orange Blossom Special. And the kids that come to visit the museum pull on the rope where it rings the bell, and they say, "All aboard!" And they ride in the train.
That's
and there's
so
a little
cool.
tiny train depot or train station, and they go and they sell tickets and they buy tickets and the parents get to ride on the train. And now it doesn't actually move, so it's a stationary train. But it's about 10 feet tall and about 13 feet long. So there's enough space in it for grown-ups to get in there. And there's an actual
we'll have to get Josie out of it.
Yeah, we'll have to get Josie to buy and sell tickets at the train depot.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would love to go on there because I think that would be pretty cool because, you know, obviously it doesn't, you know, move, but it would be fun to, you know, do, like, the actual thing, like the bell, and that would be fun.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a neat thing, and every kid that comes through there, I've always, one of the manners that we tell kids when they come visit the museum is, okay, we have to use our inside feet. And as soon as they see the train, they book right and they run right past the door, right into the train. It's the funniest thing.
Well, that's an important feature at a museum, and you'll actually see signs when you go in there. The staff tries to teach kids etiquette and how to socialize without being rude and making a mess and put things back where it came from, which rarely happens because they're kids. but it's something that's like tried to be taught there.
Yeah, we have an important Alan was saying, it was an important development process that happens, that we have to keep encouraging parents that when they come with their children, it's nice that we have all these different exhibits, but it's also important that we keep the museum as fresh as possible for other visitors. Because if every time somebody comes in and they make a mess, it kind of ruins it for the next person that comes in, you know?
Yeah.
But we're certainly happy that we do get visitors, and we're certainly happy that we get all kinds of kids from very, very young. I mean, we have children that are still in strollers and diapers to kids that are entering fourth and fifth grade. So we get kids of all ages.
They have etiquette. Don't forget the etiquette classes that are taught.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about that. Yeah, because we have the name at the end of the museum, it's Schoolhouse Children's Museum and Learning Center. We actually do offer an etiquette class and a speech class, public speaking class. So kids that come in, they not only learn about how to answer the phone, how to greet someone, how to shake hands with someone, how to look at somebody in the eye, to how to speak in public, you know, how to stand up straight, how to not make a mistake, you know, how to not how to just say in front of a crowd of people, you know. So it's important that we have the word learning center at the end of our name, so that people identify us with learning about different things.
And
that's
all the
so
classes
cool.
are fun. The
too.
Kids don't even know that they're learning.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say that. It seems like so much fun that you know, you wouldn't even know that you're learning something. It just because I think that's basically you know, what happens when you have those kind of exhibits that you can actually, you know, move and do all that other great stuff. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is, and I'm very, very fortunate that I work there and I get to see all kinds of different things happen. Sometimes it can get a little nerve wracking. We have so many people, you know, when the rooms are so crowded, it can get really crazy. We've got people that come in with their strollers and they're on their with their kids in one side of the room and another. So it can get a little bit nerve wracking. But like I said, it's nice that we have this place, and it's wonderful that parents and families still want to come visit us every day and every week.
That's so cool. And I also wanted to mention for the people who have social networking sites, the Learning Center Museum actually has a Twitter page. You got the link for that?
CM Learn Center.
We do.
I'm putting it in the chat room.
Yeah,
SCM Learning Center.
Yeah, SCM is Schoolhouse Children's Museum, so the initials, SCM Learning Center.
Awesome, and Aaron just posted it. There.
Yeah,
cool.
So it's we have a Twitter account. We also have a Facebook.
And you can go to the website.
And sign up for the email newsletter.
That's so cool. Oh, yeah, but the newsletter, which you can get at the website, right? Am I correct? I hope so.
Yeah, no, that is correct. You can go right on there.
Awesome.
And at the homepage, our homepage, you scroll down and right where it says follow us on Twitter or Facebook, you just click on one of the links and it'll take you right to where we're going. And we have a big following on the Twitter. I know that we try to update as best as we can, but we definitely have people that check us out on Twitter, and we do get people to check us out on Facebook as well.
And I just followed you on Twitter, so awesome. I did.
Nice.
Woo-hoo.
That's wonderful.
Sweet.
There you go. Now
awesome.
We have Josie on our Twitter, on our, following us on our Twitter. On our tweets, is that correct?
On your tweets, yes. That's awesome.
I also want to give a huge shout-out. List is too long to mention them all, but a shout-out to all the people who volunteer and who donate to the museum, because a big part of the museum and how it gets the exhibits is through donations. So the community donates to the museum, and the museum gives back to the community.
That's exactly right, Alan. Thank you for mentioning that. I made a comment before about volunteers, how important they are. But without them and without the donations, we certainly can't do what we want to do with the museum. With that, really, without a community, we don't have a community-based organization. You know what I mean? One doesn't go without the other. So we're certainly proud that the original founders came up with the original idea of making it into a children's museum. But we're now very fortunate that we have people today in the present. I know that we're very conscientious about the economy and stuff, but we still have people that give us, and they're generous and they support us in any way they can. So thank you to all those supporters.
That's awesome. And
anybody could be a supporter.
You guys are always looking for new volunteers. So.
And there's schoolhouse museums all across the country that do the same thing. Just go online and go to your city's website or your town's website, and there could be one near you that you could volunteer for and donate to and try to help them build it up, because all the museums join the same association, and they get ideas off each other and try to help each other.
Yeah, there's actually that's actually kind of interesting that Alan brought that up, because today I just completed a survey that was issued by the Association of Children's Museums. And the association known as ACM, they are a national organization, and basically they wanted to find out about how we support our community. And that's a very key thing that Alan mentioned, because we certainly have a wonderful place, and with support that comes from different sources, we can continue doing the good work we do.
That is super cool. And as I said, I will definitely be visiting. I'm actually very, very excited, because I was doing the virtual tour, and it looks like so, so much fun. And it shows, everyone that's listening, you just check out the virtual tour, and you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. They show you every exhibit. And also,
on the tour.
There's also bathrooms on the tour, so you can check that out.
Yeah, you know what we'll do is we'll get Alan to be our number one tour guide, and we'll give him a little vest, and he can walk around and give everyone a tour of the train.
Yeah, because it looks like he knows a lot about it, the exhibit.
Well, he spends good quality time there with us, supporting us as well. So he's an important member of the museum. He's certainly helped us in many ways. There are so many countless ways that he's helped us. So we appreciate Alan. Yeah. Alan, thank you for all the help you do.
Oh, no problem. But anybody who's been to the website prior, we redid the whole website, and we're redoing the networks in the museum and the computers and everything. So the museum is getting kind of an upgrade. One thing about the museum, which gives us a problem, but we still work through it, is because the building is so old and it's actually made out of concrete, running electrical outlets and everything is a hard job to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely.
I'll stick to education.
That's my next question, actually, because for everybody listening, Mario is actually a certified school teacher.
My background is as I was a former teacher in New York City. I worked in various neighborhoods in the city, and so I brought that experience with me to work in Florida, and now, you know, I brought that experience over to the museum.
That is so cool.
The other important function in a museum is, there's so much testing in schools that everybody's arguing about, that there's too much testing, not enough education. The museum is actually a supplement to education, and having Mario, an actual school teacher there to teach the kids who go there, is a huge plus. And that's a reason why a lot of parents bring their kids to the museum, to learn what they're not learning in schools anymore.
Well, that's actually, you know what, Alan, that actually goes and ties to the mission of the museum. The mission, our mission statement at the museum, like a lot of museums throughout the country, is they have a certain goal and objective and purpose for why they are, you know, why they operate. And our mission was to basically teach local history, Palm Beach County history, to local communities and to local children and to local parents, because people don't really know much about the history of early South Florida. They can hear about it, they can read about it, but isn't it great
That's
that we have a place
anywhere though?
Yeah, isn't
Kids
it great
generally
that we have
don't know anything about where they live?
Yeah, isn't it great
yeah.
that we have this historic preserved building that can continue the legacy of an early town and continue the legacy of the people who really were the early pioneers, the settlers that created the town and then formed it years later into a city. So I mean, without having this building, you really don't have the connection between past and present. And my job really has always been to kind of make it easier for people and school kids and teachers to kind of learn that history on a more user-friendly level. I don't think anybody, if you ever go to visit any museum throughout the country, I don't think you can go there without, you know, saying you have not learned something, because it's an experience that if you go to an art museum, you know, art speaks a thousand words without just looking at a picture. You kind of understand what the artist was trying to do, or you can kind of understand, you know, what the idea, or you can even understand the time period that the art piece was done. But when it comes to a children's museum, it's a totally different perspective. It's about getting something from the past taught to a child to make them understand what history is about. And that's the fun part about my job.
And there are pictures inside the museum of the people that were building the museum, of the building under construction 97 years ago, and you actually see them bringing in all the supplies by horse and wagon.
It's important to have visuals, absolutely.
Yeah, and a specific exhibit that I saw actually was the Time Machine, if I'm correct, and you could actually see, you know, Florida as it was back then, and it shows
Absolutely.
You.
Right.
Yeah,
we have
it's in our Faces in the Past archive where you can, there's an actual timeline and there's pictures, like Alan was saying, like what you were saying, Josie. It's an actual room where you kind of travel back in time by looking at the photographs, and it's a wall. It's a wall that it has a timeline, and I think with a lot of museums, you really have to have that, because people are not just going to come in and not understand what it's about. So we're very lucky that we have this timeline that people can see right away.
Well, nowadays, when people think of Miami, they think of this major city on the south tip of Florida. They don't realize that Miami-Dade County went all the way up north. It was almost like its own state at one time.
Yeah, that is correct.
How it's built up over this past century.
Yeah, that is correct.
And it really hasn't been that long a time.
That is correct. I want to give a shout-out to somebody who made Southeast Florida a very important part of the country, of the state, and that's Henry Flagler. Now, Henry Flagler died many, many, many years ago, but almost 80 plus years ago he passed away. But Henry Flagler made an important contribution to Florida's history. He's the one who founded and built the Florida East Coast Railway, and that's something that you know, anybody who's listening, you can go and Google Henry Flagler, and you can learn about how his contribution of the railway helped Florida grow into what it is today. You know, without his railway, you wouldn't have had tools, supplies, people, animals, farm animals to help Florida grow into what it is today. Although it's, you know, it's still growing and it's still progressing. It was his support that really made Florida grow.
Absolutely. And I'm also a listener in the chat room wanted me to ask, do you see a difference in children who have an early childhood education, meaning before grade school education starts?
I think it's a very important thing to expose children to cultural venues, to art, to taking them to a museum. That includes a zoo also. I mean, going to a zoo is a fun thing to learn about animals. But I think anytime you expose a child to different places, you certainly get something from that experience, and you won't find that anywhere else. And we're very lucky in the United States that we have a broad showcase of different museums that we can go visit. I mean, everywhere from New York to Minneapolis to Chicago to Los Angeles, there are museums everywhere and cultural organizations. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to the San Diego Zoo, and that's a fantastic zoo. And you can go to Seattle, and there's a fantastic museum there, an art museum there. You can go to New York City, and there's several museums, Natural History Museum. And, I mean, this country has a wonderful variety of museums. And it all started, I don't know if anybody knows this, but the very first children's museum was founded in Brooklyn. I don't know, Alan, did you know that? The first children's museum was founded in Brooklyn, and it was founded in 1899.
Really?
Yeah, that was the very first. And any listener that's listening out there, if they want to learn more about the history of children's museums, can go on Google and type in first children's museum in the United States, and it'll be in Brooklyn. And it was actually in 1899.
That is so cool. And, I mean, everyone that's listening, I guarantee that wherever you live, there is, you know, a museum or, you know, a zoo that you can go to. But if you're in Florida, I guarantee that you should go to the Schoolhouse Children's Museum, of course. And,
of course. Thanks, Josie.
Absolutely. No problem. And I know that I'm going to be going, so everyone that's in the chat room right now, meet me there. We can have a party.
That would be kind of a cool thing. I think
that would be awesome.
We could definitely do a live show from the museum.
And you know what? We could have. It would be a great. We can have somewhat of a youth party or a team gathering or something. I don't know. I think it's a great idea. And we'd certainly be interested in doing something.
And the other thing about the museum is it's not just teaching the kids who visit the museum, but the kids who volunteer there are learning job experiences. They have something to put on their college resumes. So it helps to be a volunteer as well.
Yeah, I think that was the first segment of the interview.
You didn't exactly touch on how it helps them as being a volunteer, though.
No, I did. I mentioned that it helps them with customer service. It helps them with development of their own person.
Now, the big question, what would you be able to teach Josie?
I think the only thing that I can think of if she came down to visit the Schoolhouse Children's Museum is definitely teach her how to plan your day. I think if you work at the Children's Museum, you got to know how to plan your day. And Alan, who was at the museum, knows very, very well that you have to be able to manage your time, because as an education director, I get pulled in so many directions. I've got a lot of projects that I have coming up and on Monday, and I've got deadlines to do. And so the thing I would show Josie is kind of like what my calendar looks like and how to plan your day and how to plan your week and how to get things done before those deadlines creep up.
What you could try to teach her is the complaint that myself and Josie's mom have all the time is she's constantly hyper and loves to talk, obviously, because she has her own radio show.
That's always a big thing, though. I think I could actually learn something at the museum, because my show does consist of, you know, time management and, you know, all that other good stuff. And let's just be completely honest, I'm not exactly 100% at that yet. So it would be good for me to go down there and learn that stuff.
Yeah, I would turn up. So the question Alan asked of what would you be able to teach Josie, I think the one thing that if you came to visit the museum, I'll show you the back office where all the staff members and the volunteers come and sign in, and then we can I can show you the scheduling calendar and actually what it's like to actually work in a children's museum. I think that's the other side of it, is what is it like to manage your time and what is it like to actually be a staff member at a museum.
We'll put a shirt
great.
On Josie and stick her at the front doors to greet people.
Yeah, actually I think that's a fantastic idea. Well, as soon as you come in, Josie, we're gonna give you a complimentary cap, and we'll give you some nice goodies to take with you. And I'll be more than happy to introduce you to folks, and then we'll make you an official greeter of the museum. So anybody walks
that
in,
is
can
so
say
cool.
Hi there.
I would love to. If you guys need any help, I will support the museum and you and everything, and if you guys ever need help down there, you know, give me a call.
well,
that's
Josie,
wonderful.
Josie, you're not far from Chicago, and I know for a fact that there's a children's museum right outside of Chicago.
Oh yeah.
Schoolhouse too.
Definitely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you could probably help them out.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I actually did something like that a while ago with my mom. We usually like to volunteer there, and it's really fun, and you learn a lot of lessons and you know how to actually talk to people, and that really helps. So I think that would work perfectly for me.
Yeah, one of the things that we do, the Spring Bonanza that when we celebrated back in March, that's another event. We had teens who were a sorority from a local college. They came and supported us, and they helped us out with. We had about 3-4 different bounce houses out on our front lawn, and what we did was we had the sorority come and do a support for us, and they were the ones who were the ticket collectors, and they kept track of time, and they participated and also made it very. They were very cheerful and enthusiastic with our visitors and the children that came and went onto the bounce houses and the slides. So I think any groups, any small or large youth groups that come also get the experience, like you talked about. They get lessons on how to work at a children's museum, how to be part of a team, and how to get and give your best representation of yourself, but also to represent the museum, because when you work for us, you have to be the best person you can be and represent us very well.
Exactly. That sounds
my
great.
Favorite
I
thing
love
about
to.
The mu- my favorite thing about schoolhouse museums is nowadays, parents, if there's two parents in the house, they both have to work to make ends meet, or it's a single parent who has to work, and they don't always have the time to teach kids exactly everything that they need to know for life, and education does start at home. The museum actually does a part of that for the parents.
Exactly.
I want to say that every parent that's listening is going to call Alan and find out if that's true.
I didn't really know what to say there. I'm not a parent, so
I said the museum does a part of it. It doesn't do all of it. Parents still have to teach their kids the basics.
Exactly. And
easy these days.
Exactly. And the museum is just, a push to give you an extra, hand. But parents...
Yeah, and they're learning by hands-on experience.
Exactly.
And it's not expensive to join the museums either.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And that's actually what I was going to ask. How much would it, cost to go to the museum?
Well, it's actually a very affordable cost. It's $5 a person, an adult. It's $4 for grandparents, and it's $3 for children 2 to 17. We do a promotional admission rate for grandparent with a grandchild, and we bring it down to $3 a grandparent with grandchild for $6. So we do have a very competitive admission cost, and so we want people that visit us to know that we're not charging like $15 or $12 a person to come in. We're very reasonable, and our memberships are also very affordable, which is we're partnering up with the ACM, which is the Association of Children's Museums, and also Florida Association of the Museums, which is known as FAM,
which you've won awards for every year.
Yes, we have.
Oh,
and
really?
We've been noted by them as being a fantastic children's museum in South Florida, and so memberships start at $50, and it's a yearly membership, and there are different price points for different memberships. But I also, I'd like to add that we were selected as the in a local South Florida parenting magazine for 4 years in a row as the best children's museum in South Florida, and that's competing with very bigger and much more expensive projects like the Children's Museum in Miami. I mean, they spent they spent almost a gazillion dollars in putting together their museum, and we competed with them, and we did very well against them. And then we were picked by Nickelodeon, Parents Pick Award as the best children's museum in South Florida. Also,
oh, really?
Yeah,
and
Nickelodeon
won awards.
Alan speaks to the technical side of the website. I'm generally speaking about the awards at the museum as a tourist attraction.
It's still a museum award.
Alan's very technical. He's hands-on with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Alan will do everything on our technical side, and he's the expert there. I can't compete with him.
He's really, really good with that stuff.
Okay, now Mario has learned a lot about doing the website and everything. He's updated several things on it. Being modest.
Well, I've learned just enough to keep the museum. Like I said before, one thing that I would teach Josie is what it takes to be working as a, you know, like the principal of the day. I would teach you to be the education director for the day, and show you what it's like to be like me, like a chicken without its head, running around crazy, you know, making sure that everybody's doing
presentations, running after crying kids who fell on the floor.
and picking up sometimes not so nice things from the floor, because there's kids that actually do have accidents in the museum at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's
a
full day.
It is a full day. It really is, and you'll need volunteers.
If you look at Mario's desk, on Mario's desk is just like this long line of hand sanitizers and handy wipes.
I bet you'll need it.
Yeah, this is true.
You do need it there.
I can't afford to keep a single day away from the museum. I can't afford to be absent too long. So I try to get myself as healthy as possible. But that comes from when I was a teacher. We kind of just always had to keep yourself healthy and keep your hands clean.
And you have to keep the kids healthy, because they get sick easily. They're kids. They don't have the immune system yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
so it's important to keep the museum as clean as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a big thing, because, you know, people obviously want to go to a very clean, and I mean, if you see sanitizers on a desk, obviously you know that it's a good building to go into.
Yeah, that's
and
a very
the
good
other
point.
Important thing is everybody at the museum is very friendly, and everybody who visits responds to that.
Absolutely. Oh, I can't
What'd
wait.
What'd you say,
exactly,
Alan?
Oh, nothing. You don't want to know.
You'll hear it in the playback.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you so much for coming up on Your Time with Josie. It was a blast, and I'll definitely be visiting.
It's
definitely.
My pleasure. I'm happy again to lend a voice on your show, and I'm glad that we got a chance to talk about the museum today. So thank you so much for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
and
come back anytime.
I want to point out to everybody who might not be aware of it that Josie is only 15 years old, not even out of high school yet, and she's doing her own radio show. So there's no excuse for not being able to do what
no
you really
excuses.
Want to do.
No excuses.
That's a wonderful message.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how young you are. It matters only what you want to do with your time. So thank you very much. You have a great show, a great concept, and I'm very happy that I was out. Able to help you on the show today.
I'm so glad that you actually you came on. It was so much fun, and it was a pleasure. And come back anytime. Love to have you.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Alan. I'll see you soon.
You too.
See you later, Mario.
Be good. Take care.
Bye, Josie.
Bye. Thank you guys so much. It was so that was such a great show. Very educational. And so much fun. And also, it's time for the contest, everybody. Contest time. All right. I've been having high requests for me to sing, so I will sing a little bit for you at the end of the show. I'm just going to do the time to give away a shirt, a Your Time with Josie shirt. So let's go here. Got the bucket. Okay, all right, so are we ready?
All right, can everybody hear me? If you're in the chat room and you can hear me, please type in that you can. I think last time there was a little problem with hearing me on the line, just want to make sure. Somebody, if you can type in the chat room, let me know whether or not you can hear me, and then we'll begin our contest drawing. All right, anybody?
They hear us.
They hear us?
Yeah, they hear us.
Okay, great. All right, perfect. Thank you, Junebug. Appreciate it. All right, so here we go. Names inside the hat. We have entered into the drawing Junebug, Nelly for Bush, and it's all that's currently active in there right now, so we pick between you two. Woohoo!
Woo!
All right, and it looks like our winner is... Junebug.
Woohoo!
Josie will tell you how you can get your shirt. Hold on the line.
Awesome. Thank you so much, assistant / mommy. congratulations, Junebug, on winning the Your Time with Josie t-shirt. Just send me your information of where we can send it, and send it at josie@josieshow.com. I'm typing the email address right now. Josie@josieshow.com. Email me your address where I can send the t-shirt, and I will send it to you ASAP. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and now I am going to just let you guys know upcoming guests. Coming on May 28, 2010, our upcoming, is Julianne Peterman, sister to actress comedian Melissa Peterman with an amazing, amazing, amazing flower, jewelsflowers.com. So she'll talk to us about that, and then we also have on June 4th, 2010, two guests, Emma Jacob and Alyssa Simmons. June 11th, 2010, we have Tori Bigelow, an amazing singer. June 18th, no show, but we'll see you on June 25th, 2010, when we have Jillian Barbary. June 2nd, 2010, we have Stephen Bloom. He's the founder and publisher of SacramentoComedy.com. And also, we have Jordan Mallory. And then July 9th, 2010, we have Susie McIntyre and Amber Lilly on the Darwin Show. And July 16th, 2010, we have Colt Chambers, a 15-year-old country music singer. And then July 25th, 2010, we have Sarah Salovey. So we have a very, very exciting guest list coming at you. So see you guys on May 28th, 2010, when we have Julianne Peterman. Everyone has been requesting now that I sing a little something, so I'll do that now. If it doesn't sound good, I apologize because I'm on a new microphone. It's a headset, so if it's loud, I apologize. I hope I don't, you know, bust any eardrums. all right, so let's sing this puppy out. I would love to actually sing Mallory Hope, Love Lives On, and I'll just sing a little bit from that. Here we go. I reached for you this morning, woke up with empty arms. Once again, it's sinking in how far away you are. I still pour two cups of coffee and tell you all about my dreams. This kitchen's way too quiet. You should still be here with me. And even though I cry like crazy, even though it hurts so bad, I'm thankful for the time God gave me. Even though we couldn't make it last, I'm learning how to live without you, even though I don't want to. And even with you gone, love lives on. I still call your mom on Sundays. It's good to hear her voice. She always tells me that same story
about her stubborn little boy. And I kept your favorite t-shirt, you know the one I used to hate. Ain't it funny how it's the one thing now I just can't throw away. All right, there we go. That was the little thing for you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.